Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I am JT, along with my co-host and co-commander, Hall of Famer, and very good friend, Leanne Whippet. We are coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios on both sides of the geography today. I like that. If I sound a little subdued, I just want this election to be over with. Oh. I'm so tired.
Ditto.
I am just so tired of this.
And I know what's going to happen. They're going to have the results for like 2 weeks. And it's a rabbit hole.
Yeah. I can't even find any good stuff on YouTube to watch now. Uh-huh. You know, it's just inundated. Uh-huh. Anyway, we want to thank the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission. And we want to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef for supporting the show. And speaking of Painted Hills, we've got our good friend Will Homer, who's the COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef over there in Wheeler County, Oregon. Beautiful downtown Fossil.
Don't tell anybody where we are.
Well, they can't get there anyway. They can't get there anyway. So come on. When everybody votes in Fossil, it must take about 5 minutes, doesn't it?
But you know, we do it all by, you know, by ballot, by mail here, right? It was a test plot. We all do mail. So I'm sure 97% of people probably turned theirs in already, because that's that kind of community. We're in that kind of community.
Yeah, I even got a notice that they actually.
I thought it was going to be like by horse. They were going to carry the votes.
They do. It only takes one pack mule from there to haul all the ballots.
Yeah. Like that. Our results will be 327 for the sheriff and 322 for the guy who lost or something. You know.
Yeah. That's about it. So you and I talk pretty often, Will.
Yeah.
Sometimes not about things we can actually put on the air, but what's going on in the beef business?
No, you don't want to know. I'm the same old sad story. The cattle seem to find the top, so that's a good thing. The cattle costs have kind of found steady way up here in the stratosphere, and so it's given us a little hope. We've caught up with that, and business demand has been good. And I was thinking about you the other day. I don't want to run back through the archives, but I know I've sat here and said that we were going to have a future where the buyer focused on the individual item that was hot for the season, and the prices would spike. And we just went through about a 3-week window where chuck rolls went higher than they've ever been. They were at like $6.40 a pound for a damned old $3 chuck roll. And I just make that jokingly because we've been at it a while, but they spiked it. I know that my VP of sales in Seattle told me that the generic chuck rolls were selling on the street to a restaurant or to a grocery store for $6.75 a pound, which is just absolutely skyrocketing.
That's like more than brisket.
but it just happens that Gabrielle and I went to Costco in Bend the other day. It was silly of us, but they moved it. They created a new one. So we said, well, we got to go see, right? Everybody's got to go see. So we went in there, and the beef section is smaller than it used to be. It's in a different part. It's not right under the butcher like it used to be, but it also, think about Costco and the amount of tonnage they sell, was very focused on the item of the day. There was a ton of chuck roast for sale there. Now, the price, they obviously got a better price than $6.75, what was on the street for the ones we were looking at, but their focus. And if Costco is going to focus on one item instead of filling the case more, it's going to do that to the price. It's going to make it very spotty like that. So now the ribeyes are starting to show a little strength, and I think we'll see it after the Thanksgiving holiday. I think we'll see the same kind of run up in price, and I don't know. I don't know how to operate in that market actually, so I don't take advantage of those things. But it's crazy. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be a wild ride. So.
So when you do that, if they're focusing on like Costco, there's a lot of Costco stores now everywhere,
Oh yeah.
you know, and I know they do some different regional things like that.
Yep.
I understand
Yep.
that too. But if they're focusing like on a chuck roll or
Yeah.
pick something else, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if they did that, what happens when a big retailer like that does that? And I know you don't provide to Costco, but just on the open market, if they're doing that, what happens to the other cuts for you guys?
Well, somehow the big packer manages to sell beef for different prices during the day. And I don't know how that's done. And it costs me, probably costs me a lot to not know how that's done. But literally, they have a guess at how many head of cattle they're going to harvest and how many chuck rolls they're going to have and how many's going out the door sold. And they can literally charge more in the afternoon than they did in the morning if they've sold more than they expected, or vice versa. If they can't get them sold in the morning, they'll be cheaper in the afternoon. And there's a USDA printed price. There's a requirement that they report that data twice a day. You can look at the price twice a day to tell you what the packer's moving, the negotiated portion of the sale. Now, negotiated and formulated are two different things. We'll talk about that on a different segment. But anyway, they can do that. So if all of a sudden in the morning they got all these guys that want, instead of having one truckload of chucks, they want two, or instead of seven truckloads of chucks, they want nine. All of a sudden, now they know they're going to be shorter than they thought, and they're going to ask more in the afternoon. And then the next month, and then the afternoon, those people want chucks and they want five instead of four, and they want more. Then the same thing will happen the next day. And what they do is basically ration the product through price, because there's only a limited amount. There's always going to be a limited amount. There's always going to be this standard number. And so it's an attempt to ration the product through price. And we see this spike, you know, and basically the meat guy, I've said this for years. You get into May, and May is strip loin season. And you get into, first of all, you get into March, and March can't sell strip loins. So strip loins, I may sell at a $10 strip loin for $6, right? I'm begging to get them gone because I got them and they got to go. So then you take your strip loin around into May, and in May, I might ask this year $12 or something like that, $12, twice as much. And the meat manager is going to say, "Oh, really? I'll take two," because they know they have to have them. It's strip loin season, it's grilling season, it's dad and the grill season. And then when you get out of that, they fall right back in the toilet again. Same thing for Christmas ribs. Christmas ribs are a push, a push, a push, and then you get to Christmas, and all of a sudden everybody wants three times as many, and they don't really care what the price. They care what the price is, but we stab them because that's the only reason we kill the steer. So,
Thought you were going to say kill the kitten, and I was going, what the
that's how they manage that. That's how they manage that, and the fact, and I'm a believer that the fact that the old meat buyer's going away, the guy who didn't that says, "Stop, chuck rolls at $6. How much is a top round? Not 355? I'll take two truckloads of those." There's, I don't think that there's as many people in the market that remember that and know how to do that. That's going to have to be a learned. A relearned experience, I believe.
You know, it reminds me, I previous life, I had some clients that were lumber brokers. And what you were talking about there, because they went into work very early in the morning, because kind of like the stock market guys, because they were selling carloads, like a rail car load to from here, they were selling them to the Midwest, sometimes down to Texas, wherever they went. They weren't just like going from going to Portland to Eugene, right? And they would, and then when they opened that price in the morning, whatever it was per thousand board foot or linear foot, whatever, like that. And then in the afternoon, that price was always either a lot lower, or if you know, some big home builder decided and announced that all of a sudden they were going to need 50 rail cars full of 2x4s to start framing houses with, it skyrocketed. But normally it was a lower price in the afternoon, kind of to get rid of that day's inventory, if it was. And they could kind of settle the books, if you will, in the afternoon. And then the next day it started all over again. And, you know, I never did figure that out as many times as they tried to explain it to me, because I'm not sure they knew, honestly. But it there's parallels to that, yeah. I guess, you know.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
And it's not you're not like selling Doritos where they can just keep manufacturing a million tons a day of Doritos or whatever it is. You've got a finite amount. And, you know, I just find it fascinating that when you kind of give us those examples of different.
I just wish I knew how they did it.
Yeah,
I wish they could take advantage of a market that's overzealous, right? And so, for example, my world, I have an inventory of product in Seattle in a warehouse. I have an inventory of product in a warehouse out of Sacramento, and I put the product in there at a cost X, and then if the market goes crazy in 2 weeks' time, which is almost the speed at which this happened, the customer, the retail, the grocer will recognize the deal and say, oh, well, hell, I'll take Painted Hills. If Painted Hills chuck rolls are cheaper than the ones I'm going to buy out of the warehouse this week, I'll just buy extra Painted Hills. Besides the fact that it's just that season, and even the retailer I'm working with is saying, I got to have chuck rolls in the case because it's raining outside.
Right.
And so there's already that demand. And then you add to it that the generic market went zooming by us. And the guys are going to say, well, I'm going to get a deal by buying Painted Hills. It's never a deal for me.
Right. So, yeah. I get that. I just, things are so volatile, and it just seems to me, we're going to take a break here, but it just seems to me that there's so many variables, and it sounds like there's some of them you might not even know.
Oh yeah.
That are, you know, are affecting markets and stuff. I mean, consumer price index, great jobs report like we got last week, 12,000, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Be back with Will and Leanne on The Nation right after this. Don't go away. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Leanne Whippin, and our guest this week is Will Homer, COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef. Will's been on the show many, many times over the years, and I always find it really fascinating because for the hardcore barbecue guys and weekend warriors that listen to this show, sometimes they say, well, what are you guys talking about? Well, eventually what we're talking about here, it affects them. It does. You know, Leanne made the comment about the chuck roll versus the price of a brisket, you know, like that. Well, when you look at that stuff and you're talking to whether they're competitive or weekend warriors or they own a barbecue restaurant, all this stuff comes around and some weeks they can get
it's going to affect the end consumer.
It is. Yeah. It is. And so that's why we do this. And
that's why everyone should listen.
Pay attention. There will be a test at some point. You know, there will be a test.
It's kind of funny you mentioned that brisket thing. I'm a YouTube junkie, and I did notice a while back the brisket. There were several different ones that said, here, smoke a chuck roll instead of a brisket. It's cheaper.
And it rolled right by on the price.
And. But the brisket thing is so popular that I don't think it's ever going to go back to, well, I hope it never goes back, 'cause I got to pay for the steer somehow, but it is crazy how popular, how just unbelievable popular it is.
Well, it's also, you know, popular commercially. You've got, you know, Arby's or whatever, Subway, you know, they're all doing the brisket this and the brisket that, you know, so they're buying it too.
Chipotle, you better get there
Yeah,
early because
Chipotle, that's
I had to
right.
come up short on what I committed to them because of others that wanted the damn thing. So yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens? I just did a, now I know you don't sell the McDonald's, and God bless you for that. But I'm just, what happens in the beef consumer side when last week I did a report, because I do this thing, and I've told you guys about this. I do this thing called Foodie Thursday, which is just, and I always try to find the fun stuff, right? Well, there was some E. coli or salmonella or one of those fun things tied into McDonald's and their Big Macs,
Quarter
right?
pounder.
Quarter pounder. Yeah. And it said, you know, if you ate one of those and you experienced this diarrhea and all this stuff. And I went, what's different? You know, nausea and all that. I mean, come on. But how do things like that, do you see a direct correlation? It might take a few days or a week, but
Luckily,
some things like that happen.
it was related to onions, right?
yeah,
So,
yeah, yeah, they tied it to onions. But luckily, nobody watches the news anymore.
Oh, that's a good thing.
And so, in 20 years ago, that would have hit the futures market with at least a 10% drop. It would have just
Wow.
knocked the hell out of something because it was tied to beef, and oh my God, it's the end of the world. But this just blew right over, and nobody even blinked it.
Well,
It
and yeah, you know, the election too,
yeah,
stomping
it's
it out
yeah,
too.
smearing things so bad that is crazy. You know what I can't get over about that burger at McDonald's is that the reason they point to the quarter pounder is that still, if you remember, sometime back, McDonald's caught hell for not having a fresh patty. Remember,
Yeah, I remember that.
Wendy's is fresh and never frozen. And the quarter pounder is still a fresh patty versus the rest of the beef they use in there. And I was shocked that companies have a marketing ploy or plan that stuck or something they came out. And then they forget to advertise it. They forget to tell anybody that this was a fresh patty. This is a fresh patty. This, you know, the E. coli could be an issue. Not that freezing changes it, but it's just
Yeah,
funny
yeah.
that they're going through the extra steps of having a quarter pounder as a fresh patty, and they're not telling anybody about that. But yeah, as far as the E. coli burst, we grab a hold of everything that's tied down and get a hold because we don't know what's going to happen. And this time, knock on wood.
Well, I just don't get it. If it was related to onions, why did they target the quarter pounder and not the Big Mac and not the regular hamburger? You know, I'm like, do they make the quarter pounder different? You know, like why is it just that one? You
They
know?
probably make the slivered onions on just the quarter
Yeah.
pounder.
Well, they do it on the
Big Mac.
they do the sliced and diced on the Big Mac, but they do the heavy, it's a heavier, doesn't make any sense to say it that way, but
You
it's a
think we get
heavier.
Leanne to sing us the Big Mac song so we remember how what was on it? Two
Patty
all beef
special
patties.
sauce, lettuce, cheese, tomatoes on a sesame
Me
seed
see
bun.
bun. Yeah, that was
There
a
you go. I can't remember.
I still think it's that damn special sauce. And I actually happen to like the special sauce, secret sauce or
I do
whatever,
too. I do
you know, like
too.
that. But yeah, I just find
Cool.
that interesting. But you know, it's also kind of funny to me that you don't get some of the other fast food. We're going off in the weeds here. That's
Yeah.
not unusual for us. But it, you know, you don't see a lot of the other ones get bombed by something like this.
What? I
Well,
know what you're asking. I'm sorry, Leanne, go ahead.
I'm saying it's because of the amount
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
McDonald's sells. So
That's
the
it. They're
odds
focused.
are they're gonna get it.
Yeah. Well, it's and they screwed up the fries, you know, as far as I'm concerned too. This isn't a show about potatoes, but I'll still eat their fries, but when they changed the oil and stuff on their fries, you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
yeah, they tasted the change the taste to them. They're not the same. They're not the same. But we've always got some goody two shoes somewhere trying to tell you what you should eat.
But
So
I agree with you, Leanne. I was surprised if it was the onion, why didn't the onion not show up in someone else's food? But it's
yeah.
the focus at McDonald's is so big and that is specialized. They probably that machine just running them just for onions would probably just baffle us all.
Right,
Oh yeah.
right.
Yeah. Like well, what happens though when you deal with Tyson? And what happens, like, you know, at least twice a year, it seems like there's a Tyson story about they've got E. coli or something going on with them, and they have to recall. It's usually chicken, though. you know, they got to recall, you know, 2 million pounds of dead birds.
Yeah, everything's kept in lots for the most part and kept pretty organized. When you see some of these big recalls come through and you see different labels on things, you really got to scratch your head. Somebody screwed up, kind of like the boar's head thing. Somebody's screwed up there for a long time. And man, I don't work with anybody that I run into more fences, you know, hey, you can't use this because I don't have a test, or we got to test this, or we got to do that. Or I run into them fences all the time. I don't know how anybody gets away with screwing up like they have it.
Leanne, it's brick walls what we were talking about before the
show. That's right.
Anyway, we're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Leanne and Mr. Will Homer right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
This is Grabbing the Brisket.
And you're listening to Jeff and Leanne on the Barbecue Nation.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. Again, we would like to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef and the way nature intended. It's Monday and it's been a long week already. And also the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission, from sea to plate. And last but not least, but always in the forefront, pig powder.
That's right. Coming out with spicy pig powder soon. Oh. I've been saying that for a while, but getting closer.
I got to get some more. I'll get some more soon because I'm out.
This is going to be a little spicier version. Not out of control spicy, but, you know, same basic profile. But, people like a little bit more heat. So,
well, will it be ready perhaps, maybe sort of for like
the formulation is done. It's now the labels. So we're down to finishing up on the labels and you know how that goes. So
we're
pretty much on the finalization of that. And as soon as that gets done, then we'll roll it out. So hopefully in a month or so.
Would it be maybe for Christmas stocking stuffers? That might be pushing a little bit.
I don't think so. Okay. I have a hectic November schedule going to the Worlds next week and then back-to-back Sam's events. So it'll probably be after.
For my birthday, maybe?
Maybe.
In January?
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'll just keep a sock hanging on the wall and you can send me some.
If I get an early shipment, I will definitely let you know.
Okay. All right. So we're talking with Will Homer today from Painted Hills Natural Beef, Chief Operational Officer. I like that. It's a big title for Fossil.
Yeah, it is.
It is like this. You know,
Well, who's above you?
My dad.
Oh, okay.
And my wife.
And his wife.
He's the money. Okay. He's the money. All right. That makes sense.
Actually, we do have a different board president now. There's another gentleman stepped in. When dad, we had the changeover about Christmas time when he had his heart thing. So he stepped down but he's still, like I said, he was just right here making sure we had cattle in the future. So.
He's hovering.
Oh yeah,
he's like the Napoleon of Wheeler County, right behind That's Will it. There. You know, he's got a little hand in there. We're seeing now things politically. I don't want to talk about the politics of what's happening in the next 24 to 49 days, but you know, there's big pushes now to pull back and actually want to try to control the amount that of red meat that's available to people. That's pretty extreme, but they're making those pushes. And then of course the synthetic lab grown meat, which is, I got some new tires. I got an old one. If people are really that hungry, it's about the same. But you know, how does that, when you sit down in your board meeting, because people that are members of your group, and you're there at the end of the table, and you know they read this stuff, or they see news flashes, or it's in newsletters, whatever it is. But how do you when they come to you with questions, are we going to do anything about this? Are we not going to do anything about this? Do we need to worry about it like that? And sitting in your position, you're getting bombarded with all kinds of stuff and a lot of what if scenarios. How do you deal with that?
Well, I don't think that's the key thing about the fake meat movement or the alternate meat movement is the flavor profile. So I shouldn't give away the secrets, but if they just figure out how to increase the sugar content and sell sugar that look like beef, they'd sell it. Yeah. But they can't sell it the way it comes across the way it is. And so that's the key. If they could sell it as to get people to buy it, the consumer to buy it and to stick and to replace beef, they would, but they haven't done that.
What's the purpose of it? What is the purpose of bringing it even?
I don't know. I think, you know, years ago, 2020, 21, 2020, somewhere in there, they had the NCBA, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, has a yearly conference. They moved it to Nashville in August. It's typically in January, February, somewhere, but they moved it to August. I remember being in Nashville though, and they said at that time that the movement was just kind of really getting chugging, and they said there was $38 billion in investment money looking to invest in alternate meat.
Right. Okay.
So that there is so much money in the Bay Area and other places. They use the word billions like it's candy. It would scare us all to death. But $38 billion, somebody pretty resourceful could put together a plan to go harvest some of that money and create an alternate beef item, maybe get $38 million and create a plan and buy marketing. I think one of them spent $10 million when they started. And what if I did all that and I took $8 or $9 million home with me and the whole thing went broke when I was done? I harvested $8 or $9 million from people who don't know any better at $38 billion waiting to invest in it. So they came out with it and they said that not only was it good for you, but it was to save the planet because cows belch methane, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cows belch methane. Oh, my God. This is to save the world. It's all phony. It's all phony fear factor. And then when they found out nobody would actually eat it, then they've got nothing to stand on. They tried to tell everybody it was safer for the environment, safer for the earth, but then they found out that they put so much diesel fuel into farming the soys and all the things that they're going to farm anyway to make this item, they didn't gain anything. So it just didn't have that leverage. It didn't have that guilt factor, right? We're going to eat it because we're guilty. Mm-hmm. It didn't have that guilt factor. So that's what happened with alternate meats, but we really don't have it.
I just think that beef eaters are purists.
Yeah,
you know, they want their beef.
They see through it. And why anybody who is supposed to be, and from our side, if I put my cowboy hat on, why anybody would be guilty about eating beef, but yet want to eat beef so bad that they'd eat this crap?
Yeah.
No idea.
Just the word synthetic and beef don't go together.
No.
No.
It does not.
No, it doesn't. And you know what, you made a comment there about if you scraped $8 or $9 million out of all that and took it home. That happens every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they don't get in trouble for it anymore.
No.
You know, they used to call them like Ponzi schemes and, you know, Bernie Madoff and all that kind of stuff. Not anymore. They come up and it's all marketing and hype, and they sell, you know, we're in the first round, second round, third round of fundraising, financing, whatever they call it. And then it goes tits up in the ditch and a lot of guys walked away with a lot of money and they're on to the next project.
Yep.
Like that. I just find it kind of,
I need to get into this CEO ring. This CEO ring. You know, you go into Starbucks and spend 3 years and get some kind of million dollar premium and all that. And in 3 years' time, you go, it didn't work. Sorry for you. I'm moving on to the next one.
It's like, well, like a football coach,
right?
I was going to say, you can always become a football coach or work in one of the leagues, you know.
Yeah. I think a CEO job lasts longer than a football coach.
Probably.
I do too.
Oh, I was thinking about you being the head guy of like the new Pac-12 or something. Yeah. I mean, I know we got a new one, the lady there, but you know, anyway, I just find it kind of fascinating that people do that, but that's a push. That's actually one of the, if you will, the platforms from on the Democratic side, this election cycle has been to, we want to push back the amount of red meat that you eat for the environment and for and for that. What the hell do you think happened when there was 80 million buffalo running around? Yeah. They don't think they burped and came out the other end or whatever. Give me a break.
I'm actually concerned. We shouldn't talk about it. You said no politics, right? I'll just go on.
Give me a little bit.
I'm actually concerned about the other side saying that we're going to have price control. We're going to fix the high prices that we're seeing, because I'm in agriculture right now, and there is nothing in agriculture that's kicking ass. There's the corn prices off. The hay price is terrible. The potato guys are screaming. The onion guys are doing, of course, they should have took a hit with the onion thing.
That's right.
The beef thing right now is incredibly broken. We're buying calves. Gabrielle witnessed some sales the other day. They're buying calves today like there's never going to be another one. Like right now, the fat steer price is $1.90 a pound. That's a fortune. And they're buying calves today. And if they gave away all the inputs to get them to February after next, a year and a half from now, they'd be that's going to be $2.15 a pound. There's nowhere. I'm not seeing anywhere where they're going to squeeze any money out of this thing. And so I really don't like that they stand up there and say we're going to fix the price, because I don't know where they're going to get it.
Yeah.
I think hopefully if they're smart enough, it comes from the other side where they can lower some of the fuel costs and the regulatory costs and things like that, and maybe get it to take a breath in there. We'll see. Yeah. But I don't know. Somebody always wants to tell you what to do. Why don't they just stay home and mind their own store? So that's kind of my, as I get older, you know, I'm looking at it like, come on. You know, why do that? It's really not very good. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Will and wrap up the show. And Miss Leanne, and she has survived the two hurricanes. And so, and if you missed last week's show, it's kind of fun. The pictures of Ray are a little funky. That's why we haven't released the videos yet. But you will see what happened to Leanne's daughter's house if you watch that show. Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us. Check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. We are on all the major platforms. I don't know how many radio stations we're on anymore, to tell you the truth. There's a bunch of them. But we're on all the streaming stuff. Also, our sister show, Grilling at the Green, is going live on its new Golf News Network. They did the soft launch, and now they're ready for us, and they'll be coming out here in a couple, 3 weeks. So less than a month, actually, that the shows will start airing. And we're going to drop.
That's great. That's great news.
Yeah, we're going to drop one like every week or so and get through the first seven, and then we'll attack the next seven after that.
Yeah, they're good.
How about that? Anyway, we're talking with Will Homer. They actually have a golf course there, and they have television in Wheeler County, too. It's an amazing, it's an amazing thing.
If I get the donkey to go around the grinder. To
pull yeah. They're just like Poncho and Don Quixote. Come on.
Yeah.
Doing that stuff. Okay. This is the part of the show you hate. Well, I always seem to put you through it in the fall like this. What are people going to be looking at? Christmas is coming. They're going to want their, you know, their rib roast for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like that.
I think, that's the part that surprises me the most with this chuck roll demand and these ribs I'm seeing. And, you know, you hear a lot on the course, the political noise, people don't have any money and they don't have this and that. But by golly, that they're still walking in the stores and they're still walking out with beef. And restaurant business, the statistics say things aren't good, but those guys are making it happen too. So I think barring some after chaos, I think it's going to chug right along. I think people still have money for food and I think they're going to keep going. So I hope so. I'm going to blindly hope so, because like I said, my costs are cattle are high and my replacement costs for cattle are even higher, and they're going to have to want it.
I just think the holidays, people kind of close their eyes and they're like, you got to do it. It's like, I got to pay for a Christmas tree. You know, it's just.
Yeah.
You got to make it happen some way.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the few things, if I can be so bold. It's one of the few things that people, they complain about it a little bit and this and that. But like Leanne said, it's the one of the few times they actually have joy in their life with their families is around, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and that. And it's a big
splurge.
People splurge and they can feel good about themselves for at least an hour and 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they have to, you know, get back to reality. But I really think that's important for people to be able to do that. But what happens, here I come again, what happens, like we had a chain out here called Sherry's Restaurants, and they just closed them down. Now I know they didn't serve painted hills, but they always had, you know, a strip loin steak or something like that. And then you got Applebee's, they've closed down a bunch like that. Do those things affect the beef markets? Now they're not buying fillets and stuff. I get that, but they are buying New Yorks and there are sirloins and stuff in there. So what happens when that happens?
I don't know, but there are 10,000 ways for a restaurant owner to buy a 6-ounce top sirloin steak.
Mm-hmm.
They can buy the best Wagyu Japanese. They can buy a top sirloin out of a 7-year-old dairy cow. And they can buy anything in between. So I don't know where in the market that existed. But I also know that food service makes beef go a long ways. It takes a very little beef to service a Sherry's.
Yeah.
You know, all day long, and they serve 7 T-bone steaks, wouldn't use 1/2 of 1 steer. So it goes a long ways in food service. If it was a hamburger joint serving hamburgers, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, they're making something happen. But if it's a, I think I told you I did a thing at the Intel took over, or no, somebody took over Intel sites down at San Jose years ago. And I went down and did a demo, and I did 2 days worth of demos, and I was in the commissary in their facility there. They served 1500 people in each place every day. And I don't think they served 10 hamburgers the whole time I was there. And so it just taught me how far food goes and how choices happen and how far
it goes. I mean, who says, let's go to Applebee's and get a T-bone?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's just not their focus, really.
Yeah. It's, and every time I've ever ordered a steak, which has not been very often in the last number of years in one of those restaurants, I'm always disappointed. You know, I just am. I've never gone out and said, God, I got to come back here. And
I will, you know, I will give a little plug for Texas Roadhouse.
Well, okay.
You for the money. That. I mean, you can't even go out and buy the steak and make the sides for the amount of money that they get. And
right.
They, you know, different size cuts of meat. It's not bad.
Good.
Well, I'll tell you this, and okay, people don't hate me for this, but went to Outback. I used to like going to Outback.
I haven't been to Outback in years.
You know, I love the Bloomin' Onion. That really hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. All right. That really hasn't changed. And I never really ordered the steaks there because they had a shrimp basket that I really liked. And they had really tangy cocktail sauce and stuff. And I really liked it. They took that off the menu, too. All these menus have gotten really well condensed like that. Mm-hmm. So we went out there a couple months ago for our anniversary. We kind of made a whole weekend of the anniversary thing. But we went there one because Shelly wanted to have a Bloomin' Onion. And I went there and I ordered sirloin and shrimp or something. I ate shrimp. I didn't bring the rest of the sirloin home. That I didn't eat. Okay. It's just tough. And you can only, you know, put it on the Barbie so many times, mates. And it just doesn't, is, I don't know what the hell they're buying, but it's not very good. And so, you know, that's just my opinion.
Well, it doesn't have to be something. Now I mentioned the cow, the dairy cow, just to kind of give you a shock, you know, but it doesn't have to be something exotic. One of our members was here in the office the other day, and he has a ranch here in Mitchell, but he also has a winery down in Healdsburg country down there. And he had two different luncheons for his crew. And he had, the other day, his son came to him and said, "Hey Dad, what the heck did we do wrong when we cooked the meat for that second luncheon we had up at the lake the other day?" And his dad smiled a little and said, "Well, I ran out of Painted Hills, so I went down to my favorite butcher and bought the best he had to replace it."
Right.
He had bought the best he had, the choice, whatever best he had in the butcher shop to replace it. And yet the son said, "Hey, what was wrong with the beef?"
Yeah.
That's something.
So when it comes to Painted Hills and the Christmas ribeye, I think that people are not only going to splurge, they're going to say, "Man, I don't want to risk it."
Yeah. No. You know, no, it's not worth the risk of, if you will, ruining a family dinner. Now, you can't control what your relatives say. That's ruined more dinners than anything. But as far as the food, step up to the plate a little bit and do that, you know. Yep. So they, I don't know. It's just, we live in weird times. Anyway, Will Homer, COO, Painted Hills Natural Beef, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
And Leanne, as usual, you've been a dream and a star. We're not doing after hours today just because. Don't worry, we're going to get you next time, pal.
Yeah,
double whammy.
We'll you shouldn't do the have whole told hour him that. Of, won't come on again.
Do the whole hour of after hours.
Oh, time. Goodness.
And we'd like to thank everybody that supports the show. And, of course, Gorilla Grills, Hammerstall Knives, Heritage Steel, all the folks there. Thank you for being with us. And until next time, go out, survive the election. We will live, maybe. We'll see you on the other side. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.